Hey, this is Rob Unsbach, and welcome back to another edition of eHeroes. Now, for all you entrepreneurs out there who are kind of stuck in this world of not knowing where opportunities are coming, I brought on opportunities expert Tiffany Toombs, who's going to help you kind of get that mindset to go, you know, to look at what's available in new opportunities out there. So thank you for being here, Tiffany. And you know, I just watched that video of yours the other day, and it's just so enlightening. And you know, I learned so much.
Well, thanks for having me here. I'm excited to share some ideas with people.
You know, I think COVID really brought a lot of entrepreneurs down. Mm-hmm. You know, we get into our rut and we kind of do the same things over and over again, and we kind of pigeonhole ourselves into these things that, okay, this is what I can only do, which is crazy because, you know, for 20 years, I was a carpet cleaner. I owned a carpet cleaning business. And, you know, 8 years ago, I decided, hey, enough's enough. I'm tired of this. I started writing books, started coaching people. And then my coaching business, you know, took off and I sold the cleaning business. And, you know, so I did a complete 180. So if I can find the opportunities out there, I know that other people out there can do the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, I don't think people realize the ways that they like block themselves off. And before we went to air, we were talking about 2020. And like the language was so interesting to watch where, you know, early March, everybody was talking about opportunities and how 2020 was going to be the best year yet and roaring 20s and all of this stuff. And then literally within less than 24 hours of the border shutting and the NBA canceling their season, we were all of a sudden in talk of recession and economic collapse. And there was businesses who just decided, well, this is coming. It's inevitable that the economy is going to crash. And so I'll just get out now before I lose too much. Yeah. Right. And there was businesses who shut down in less than 12 hours of all of that happening. And so when we start to, and I was very clear with both my husband and with my clients, when all of that was happening, I said, we're not going to buy into all this negative language. We're not going to talk about chaotic times, hard times, you know, panic. We're not going to use any of those words because here's what we know. In every recession, depression that has ever happened, there has always been opportunity. And our words that we choose to use decide what we focus on. And what we focus on is what we ultimately see in our reality. So if you're focused on the panic, the recession, the collapse, then all you're going to see is that impending doom, and it's going to send you into a tailspin of anxiety and stress and depression. Or you can focus on, okay, where's the opportunity right now? Where can I serve people? People are stressed out. How can I make them laugh? Right? I mean, I had an amazing year off of just doing TikTok videos last year. I have like $30,000 in attributable income from people who found me on TikTok. And I didn't even put a whole lot of effort in. Like I put effort in for a couple months and then I had some health issues. So I kind of stepped away from it for the middle of the year. But just being able to make people laugh and educate people in a different way, right? All of a sudden, more people were on TikTok because they have more time at home and they needed to entertain themselves in some way. And so just understanding that you can create opportunity wherever you want, regardless of what other people say. Now TikTok's more of the norm, but when I got on there, people were like, what are you making videos on mindset for 10 and 12 year olds? And I was like, just see, like, just let it ride. And you know, it's paid off for me.
Well, for me, it was, you know, I guess it was about 2 years ago, you know, people were like, well, Rob, you're so serious. And I said, no, I'm very sarcastic. Don't, what do you mean? And so I started taking that sarcasm and putting it into the books that I write, because I was always sharing out scenarios that happened, you know, with people, scammers calling me or stupid customers or whatever. And I would take those conversations and I would assemble them into books. And I actually just started finishing. I just finished the draft of Rob Versus Book 4, which is coming out in a few months. And it's all sarcasm and it makes people laugh. And I've made more money on these sarcastic books than I have on my other books that are very serious. And they teach people different aspects of of like social media or SEO or podcasting. And, you know, so you got to look at what you're doing. At least for me, I look at what I'm doing. I'm thinking, okay, what can I use that I have now that I can, you know, whether make people laugh, make people learn, you know, but, you know, there's an opportunity there to make money.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think what people don't realize is that they often shut themselves down and take themselves out of the running before they set themselves up for success, right? There's this notion of, well, if I just, as an entrepreneur, if I put in 60 or 70 hours a week, then the money has to follow. Like, that's a given, but it's not a given, because if you're not focused on the right things, right? If you're spending 70 hours a week just scrolling through Facebook, but you're never actually engaging or posting or adding any value, nobody's going to sign up with you. Right. If, you know, and I have people in my programs who at the beginning of their coaching business, they do the same thing. Well, but I've been spending all this time on social media. Okay, but what are you doing on social media? Like, if you're just scrolling and being a consumer, then that's not really business building time. That's just you procrastinating and wasting time. Whereas if you're on there and you're commenting and you're adding value to people and you're sharing things, then that's business building time, and that will pay off. The other thing is that, you know, our language, and this was in the video that you watched that you're talking about, that our language really closes people off to opportunities. And money, opportunities, new clients, it doesn't go where it's needed, right? The energy doesn't say, oh, this person hasn't made a sale this month, so we're going to direct some energy there. If that was the case, we wouldn't have the financial disparity that we have in the world, because the money would just be like, oh, well, this person over here hasn't gotten a paycheck in a while, so I'm going to flow their way. Right? Where it goes is A, where it's attracted, and B, where there's space for it. And so the best way to think about this is, let's say it's springtime and you want to buy new clothes to wear to the beach in the spring or for your summer vacation. If your closet is full of big, bulky, heavy winter clothes, you don't have anywhere to put it. And so you can go shopping, but you don't have anywhere to put those things. There's no room for it. Nature abhors a vacuum. So whenever we create room for it, nature is going to rush in and fill it up. We have to create the room for it first. And so the other thing that I commonly hear entrepreneurs saying is, I'm so busy. I have so much to do. And in a society that kind of rewards and puts people, the busiest people and the most stressed out people, on a pedestal, people say these things and like compete for who's the busiest and who has the biggest to-do list, in a way to get like that dopamine hit or that validation that they're doing the right thing. But what they don't realize is they're closing themselves off to new opportunity. If you're always talking about how busy you are and you're talking about it in a negative way, like, oh, I'm so busy. How am I going to get everything done? I have so much to do and I'm so stressed out. That's like hanging a no vacancy sign on your business. Like, I'm sorry, I don't have any room for new opportunities because I'm already full. And so our language can block things from flowing into us and block us from even seeing an opportunity that's sitting right in front of us, and we don't even realize that we're doing it.
I like when people say, well, my plate is full. I say, well, get a bigger plate.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, no, I don't have time for that. Well, get more time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just ironic, because it's, you know, people look at it and they say, well, the rich keep getting richer. No, the rich are finding a way to attract more money. And you're sitting there on your couch watching TV doing nothing.
Yeah. I love the, well, time is a non-renewable resource. We can't get more of it. And the truth is that we can create more time. We create more time through freeing ourselves up and delegating. Mm-hmm. We can create more time through building teams. And, you know, like, time is a man-made construct. And if we were to like dive into the quantum mechanics of things, time doesn't really exist, right? Everything's already out there. We just have to decide to go out and get it. So, yeah, it's always interesting to me the way people talk about time and like, well, I can't get more time, or like, I'm already only sleeping for 3 hours a day. Well, there's ways that you're being inefficient with your time. And we can figure out how to change that, change those inefficiencies so that you can actually create more time.
I like when people say to me, well, wait a minute, you wrote 30 books already? In how many years? I can't even write one book. It's all time management. You know, mm-hmm. I can't wrangle time to be bad. All I do is I hyper focus on the time that I have, and I make sure that it's done. And I get stuff. You know, I probably get more stuff done in 2 hours than most people get done all day. But I think it has to do with how I've structured my business.
Yeah. And I mean, it's how intentional people are with their time. When Clubhouse came out, I had a client reach out to me and they said, I have so much anxiety right now because I am just stuck on Clubhouse all the time. And I'm hearing all these people who I know are not making as much money as they say they are talking about, you know, how to make $1 million when I know they haven't made it themselves. Right. And I said, so what is spending all that time on TikTok doing for you? Like, I understand if you're on there adding value and using it to grow your audience, but if you're just listening, how is that increasing your time? And I think a lot of people don't realize that there is the number one addiction in the world is to stress and drama. And we create stress, like and this is science, like our body cells actually get addicted to getting that hit of adrenaline and cortisol. And so we create scenarios in our life that cause us to be in a place of stress and drama. So we either, you know, you stalk that ex-boyfriend or that hater on Facebook to see what else they're saying about you or, you know, how good they're doing without you now. You waste time and procrastinate. So now you're behind the gun and you're stressed out because you have all this stuff to do and you've wasted time. You decide to not set a boundary with somebody who you know is going to walk all over you. Like, there are so many ways that our body tricks us into going back into a drama cycle so that we can stay in that addiction place. And it's not very easy to be creative, to be innovative, or to be the creator of your life when you're stuck in the mud wrestling with pigs.
Oh yeah. And now we're tied to, you know, all of our followers on social media listening to their drama.
Yeah.
You know, I think you have to limit what you're doing. I haven't even jumped on the Clubhouse bandwagon. I could if I got a newer phone, but I have an iPhone 6, so you know, it won't work, so I don't care.
To be honest, I have it, but I'll be honest, somebody said to me the other day, how are you growing your followers on Clubhouse? And I said, I've literally been on there like for 30 minutes while I was like brushing my teeth and stuff one morning. And so it just must be that I wrote a really good bio and that people are following me because of that, because I haven't added any value in any other way to people. So that's interesting. But, you know, I'm not an auditory learner, so it's not my style anyways. And that's okay. I know some people.
When I do these podcasts, I do the video and the audio because some people are visual, some people are auditory. And, you know, but we go back to TikTok and Clubhouse. Both of those were designed to kind of engage FOMO, that fear of missing out. For me, it's not FOMO. It's JOMO, the joy of missing out. I would love to miss out on those things if it allows me time to focus on what really matters in my life. Mm-hmm. And what really matters in my life is you know, working 3 to 4 hours a day, spending the rest of the time with my family and everything else. But it took me a long time to figure that out. And by hyper-focusing on those couple hours that I am at work, I can see opportunities everywhere that I could be implementing into the business. I could be adding more value somewhere else. I could be spending time with my kids and grandkids. But there again, you know, we as entrepreneurs think, oh, we got to work 18 hours a day. It's not true.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it really, I'm not a big fan of the starting with why. I mean, I love Simon Sinek and I love like that model of talking to the why, especially when it comes to marketing. Mm-hmm. But in terms of like knowing your why as the first and foremost thing that you need to figure out in your business, it's not true. And this is where most people get caught up in FOMO and get caught up in all these shiny object syndromes is because they don't really know where their destination is. If you think of life like a road trip, your why is the fuel you put in the car. And it's going to fuel you for now, But that fuel might change, right? Sometimes you might fill up at Shell and sometimes you might fill up with BP and sometimes it might be like some random middle of nowhere in Arkansas. Like, trust me, some of the places we've stopped at driving out to my in-laws in Kentucky, I'm like, I don't know if this is a safe gas station or if it's like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but we're gonna, you know, we need gas. So, but people don't know where the destination is. Like right now I'm in Dallas. If I don't know if I'm going to LA or New York, then I'm just going to end up driving in circles. And that's how most people live their life. A lot of the clients that I work with who come to me in that kind of midlife crisis phase, it's because their why has been either their partner or their kids. I talked to somebody this morning, a mom, 5 kids and a wife. And they said, you know, I can't come first. Like all my decisions affect everybody else. And I said, and so does your anxiety. And so does the fact that you can, like, we couldn't even have a conversation with you without you breaking into tears. That affects them too. And so the best thing that you can do for them is to heal yourself and to figure out where you're going. And so the reason that so many people have these midlife crises is because their why changes or their why grows up, you know, their kids grow up and all of a sudden don't want to spend time with them anymore. And like, mom, dad, you're not cool. Get out of my room. Or they grow up and they go off to college or they move out and they have their own kids and they move across country or whatever it is. And now all of a sudden you don't have a why. You don't have a thing to strive for. Whereas if you have a legacy, right? If you know the intention for your life, what is the legacy you want to leave behind? What's that greater impact? Then you always have a destination to be driving towards. And it's okay if the fuel changes in the car. Might be your kids while they're growing up. And then it might be, you know, the next generation of people that you want to impact, but that's okay. And so, you know, I think for you, like, you know what your intention is. That time with family is important. Mark Manson talks about this in The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. You have to know what your intention is that you're working towards. If you're just building a business to make money, you will never be satisfied. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how much money you're making, you'll never be satisfied. Whereas if you know, okay, well, I'm doing this for time freedom or to be able to take my family on an extra vacation every year, whatever it is, then as soon as you reach that point, you don't need to keep striving in your business and you can strive somewhere else. Right. But you need to know what that intention is. Otherwise, FOMO is going to suck you up and spit you out.
Yeah, I think one of the driving forces of leaving my cleaning days behind was that I wanted an opportunity to have a business where I could go anywhere, whether, you know, be a laptop, a tablet, cell phone, and I could still work. Mm-hmm. With the cleaning business, I was kind of trapped in my local area, and I was kind of a prisoner of my own area. And people would, they would, you know, knock on my door. Hey, Rob, we need your help. They knew where I lived. I'd go out to eat. They know where I'm, you know, they'd want to shake my hand. And it got to the point where, you know, I was visible to everybody. Mm-hmm. Well, when you have a global business like I do now, you know, I can travel, you know, people don't recognize me. Although every time I go to Dallas airport, there's always someone that says, hey, Rob. And I'm like, yeah. So, but you know, you have to create that opportunity to what you want in life. And the thing is that I used to take my laptop everywhere. Now I don't, I can just take my cell phone or a tablet. And, mm-hmm. you know, so I look at things and say, okay, how can I simplify my life? And so there's a lot of opportunities out there, but like you said, the shiny object things seem to always complicate things. And so I say, okay, my whole new phrase is, how can I make something stupidly simple? Because as the older I get, the more I forget. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I need to make it so simple that I'm still making money and anybody can take the business over when I leave.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, for me, growing up, my parents worked really hard, but they worked really hard to make ends meet. And so we never got to do like the Disneylands and those trips.
I just came back from Disney World. It was great.
Oh, really? I went to Disney World for the first time at the end of 2019, but Disneyland was a little bit earlier. But we never went with my family, right? Like my brothers still haven't gone. My parents still haven't gone. Mm. And when I moved to Australia and started making really good money for the first time in my life, I selfishly knew that the only way I was going to get all of my family there at once was if I flew them all down. And so I flew them all down for a Christmas. It cost me like $20,000 or $30,000, but it was worth it. And to this day, we still talk about it. It's still been our best family vacation. And I realized in that moment, I want to be able to do that. I want, you know, when I have kids, to be able to do that. But I also want to be able to take my brothers and my nieces and nephews and be like, hey, we're going to this place that you never thought you'd be able to afford to go, or that, you know, we're going to be VIPs at Disney or whatever for the day, and create those memories. Like, for me, that's ultimately what I want to do. And then to get there, I just empower people. And so,
and the funny thing is you say that, and I'm trying to think of a way that I can create this VIP travel product for my clients that can then come with me to these great locations, and they can experience what I, you know, experience every time I go there. And, yeah, and you put that excitement into them, and, you know, you're making money, but at the same time, you're having fun. Your clients are having fun. And, you know, anybody can do that. People are saying, well, I don't have $30,000 sitting around. Maybe not. But, you know, a lot of times people will end up paying to be part of what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, that's why people, I don't know if this is why other people run masterminds, but I run masterminds so that I can go to places for free, yeah, right? Like, me and my husband have said, let's do a mastermind where we go to Florida, or where we go to Aspen, or where we go to these other places during like the right seasons. And like, cool. Then we don't have to pay, because the people in the program are paying for it. And we can then go show them a good time, open their minds to what's possible. And then we can have a day or two to hang out and relax and explore on our own after they leave.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and then I've been to so many masterminds, and I'm looking at, they're all different. They're all set up different, and they're all based on kind of the personality of the person who's running it. And I've been to some really great ones. I've been to some ones that, you know, aren't so great, but I've learned a lot from every single one of them.
Yeah. And like, I mean, some of the best experiences that I've had were masterminds where I had to leave home, right? Where I didn't go home every day, where you were fully immersed in that experience. And, you know, I've worked with, you know, some big name entrepreneurs who you go to their like $20 million house. And it like, I can't remember who said it, but once a mind is expanded, it can never contract. Mm-hmm. And so it starts to get you to think in these different ways and on these different levels about what's really possible in your life. Mm-hmm. And that really shapes your reality.
You know, usually once a month, towards the end of the month, I take out a big blank piece of paper and I start writing down different ideas that I have. And, you know, and I see which ones are viable. Because, you know, not every idea that you're going to have is going to make you money. In fact, some of them, if you look, you know, at them, you're like, man, that's going to cost me big time. But, you know, look at the things that you can accomplish right now. And a lot of those ideas that I put down at the end of the month, you know, within, you know, 20, 30 days, I can accomplish most of them. And if everybody did that, the opportunities would just be like a magnet. You'd be sucking all these things in. And you'd be achieving so many things. But I think the problem is that we're so worried about binge watching the next Netflix episode that we don't care what happens in our business.
It's a really weird phenomenon where we would rather live somebody lead a scripted fake life than live our own. And I think that there's a certain level of fear and programming in there, in that, you know, this is what you do. Like, for me, I was programmed from how we lived growing up, that you would go to work or school, you would come home, you'd have dinner as a family, do the dishes, and then you sat and watched TV. And I'm like, that's not how I want my life to look. Like, you know, I remember my brother came to visit me in Australia, and on a Tuesday night, him and I went to a coffee shop around the corner. Melbourne is like a big coffee foodie city. And he was like, you know, I would love to do more of this, but people back home only ever want to go out for drinks, and they only want to go on a Friday or Saturday. Like, heaven forbid you leave the house and do something social on a Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like, who decided that you couldn't go out on a Monday or a Tuesday and you could only go out on, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Like that doesn't have to, just because that's the way that life was growing up for us, doesn't mean that's the way that it has to be. And so I think one of the best questions that entrepreneurs can ask themselves are, well, what would happen if I did this? What would happen? And then just go see, like, really, what's the worst case scenario? You go out and you see a movie on a Tuesday night and maybe you get home a little bit late and get a little bit less sleep. Like, is that going to be the end of the world? Right. No, start applying that FOMO to your life. Like, have that fear of missing out on living every single second. I was thinking the other day, growing up, Tim McGraw's song Live Like You Were Dying was super popular. And I was like, why do we need the threat of death to realize that, oh, we have a finite amount of time? Like, this is your life. You are losing it minute by minute. You're slowly dying right now, whether you want to. Maybe it takes you another 20 or 30 or 50 years to die, or maybe it takes you 2 years. We don't know when this end in our hourglass is going to run out. So why not have that fear of missing out on your own life and start living it now?
Well, you know, when I went to Disney World, we went Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So 3 days at the parks. And a friend of mine was just there on a Sunday. And he said, Rob, it's just jam-packed. You don't want to come down. You don't want to come down. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm heading down. I have tickets. I got to go. But, you know, going down on weekdays, it wasn't crowded. We got on all the rides. We had five-minute waits. You know, but had I gone on a weekend, there'd be, you know, hour and a half wait times on all the rides. You know, why are we going to amusement parks on the weekends anyway? I mean, that's when everybody else is going.
Yeah. I remember, so being in the seminar business and running training courses like NLP, I predominantly run my trainings on the weekend. And my husband was like, oh, you know, kind of sucks that you have to work a lot of weekends. And I said, yeah, but like, you're an entrepreneur too. You could take a Monday or Tuesday off. Mm-hmm. And it was like this huge light bulb moment for him to be like, yeah, I could just take a Monday and a Tuesday off. Like, I forgot that I created my life to live that way. And so I think as entrepreneurs, it's easy to get caught back in that, like, your business becomes your job. It becomes your 9 to 5, but because you hold the keys, it somehow seems better. But you're not really an entrepreneur until you're thinking, well, how can I create more time and more of what I want?
You know, early on in my career, you know, this was back in the 90s, late 90s, I had this struggling cleaning business. And this is before I learned marketing. You know, people would come to me and they're trying to sell me on their latest MLM, trying to recruit me. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, that's just another shiny object, but those guys are making money. I'm struggling here in my cleaning business. So I could have switched gears and I could have taken that opportunity that someone else was giving me, but I wanted to chase my own opportunity and I wanted to see where my own opportunity was going to go. And I think sometimes we get caught up because what we're doing is failing because we don't understand marketing or we don't understand, you know, social media or anything else. So we look at what someone else is doing and think, oh, I can do that. That looks so great. He's making so much money. The moment you do that, everything in your life is going to fall apart because since you didn't understand the concepts in one business, you're not going to understand the concepts in someone else's business. So what I'm encouraging everybody to do that, you know, if you think that you are an entrepreneur, discover marketing, discover how to do social media, discover, you know, I'm not a big TikTok fan, but do the things that are uncomfortable so that you can start making your business the way it is right now. You know, start receiving these opportunities that are actually going to profit you right now and profit your business and not someone else's.
Absolutely. I mean, just like leadership and emotional intelligence and communication are necessary skills to get ahead in the business world, you need to know how to build a brand. People don't buy from brands anymore. Even if you work in corporate America for a big brand, people still want to know you. They still need to have that know, like, and trust factor. And so if you don't know how to market yourself, how to position yourself on social media, you're not going to get very far. So like you said, it doesn't matter what business you're in, you have to figure those things out.
You know, and I always love to share my story with people because it gives people an idea where I came from. And when they're thinking, oh my God, how is a carpet cleaner a marketer now? But when they learn that story, when they learn the steps that I took, they're more inclined to understand and trust me and get to know me, and they want my help. And same with you. You have a story, that Australian story. People are like, wow, you know, that's fascinating. You know, the whole thing about going to Australia and then coming back. And, you know, everybody has their own unique story. Everybody has their own unique superpower. Utilize it.
Yeah. And find the platform that works for you. Like I said, you know, I can go on Clubhouse, but it's not my preferred method because especially just sitting listening like that, you know, unless I'm out for a walk in the morning listening, that's not my, you know, my learning style. Yeah. But I love TikTok because it is visual and I can have fun with it, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas Facebook's a little bit more serious. You're kind of expected to be funny on TikTok. And so, you know, some of my friends have been like, I didn't know you had such a sense of humor. And I'm like, you know, because it, that side of me can come out on TikTok where, you know, on Facebook, it might not be okay. If you're sick of curating the perfect picture, then don't be on Instagram, right? Each platform is going to be different based on the types of people that are on there. So figure out what are you good at and then stick to that platform. You don't need to do all of them right away either, or even at all, you don't have to do all of them.
Right. And I think that there people will get this overwhelmed feeling. Oh my God, I have to do every single one. No, focus on a few. I've made more money on Facebook and LinkedIn. And I really don't even deal with Twitter anymore. To me, Twitter is chaos. And I don't do, you know, Clubhouse or TikTok, but other people do. And so focus on what you're good at and, you know, get your message clear, concise, and learn to share your story. And for me, it's sarcasm. For you, it's, you know, very, you know, you're very humorous and people like that. But I think everybody needs that strength. They need to know that, you know, someone's watching.
Yeah. And you never know. Like, I think the other thing about social media people need to know is I've had people who've reached out to me and told me how much I changed their life just by my social media posts, who have never liked my posts, who have never commented, who have never shared. I've had people hire me and as their coach who have never liked anything. So just because you're not getting the engagement, like, there's this, you know, notion of like, oh, well, I only got two people that liked my post. My question back to you would be, so what makes the other 100 people who didn't comment that you were hoping for any better than the two people that did? Because those two people that did comment, their lives matter, and B, you've had an impact on them. So focus on the people who are engaging with you. The rest will come. But when you switch from a mindset of like, how can I get to how can I serve, you're going to attract a lot more people because people can feel that energy. People know when somebody's just putting out content for themselves, and your quality, like the quality of your content sucks, by the way, when you're putting out content in terms of like, what can I get from you as opposed to I'm here to serve. Let me put this content out. Some of my clients in my coaching programs, they always ask like, well, how do I know if I'm giving away too much? And I'm like, I just like, other than giving people the exact hypnosis scripts that I use, I just give away the farm. And then people are ultimately going to hire me so that they don't have to, you know, scroll through my Facebook and figure it out on their own and to accelerate time, like we were talking about, right? To create more time. But, you know, there will be some people who never buy from me, and that's okay. At least I'm still being able to serve them and make an impact.
I just picked up a client I said, how'd you hear about me? Oh, I've been following you for about a year now. And I said, really? I don't see your comments. I don't see. He goes, yeah, you know, I kind of lurk in the background. I wanted to get to know you first. I'm like, right. You know, and he's spending a lot of money with us, which is awesome. So there are going to be people out there that are going to be lurkers and maybe won't comment on stuff. And maybe when you look, you're thinking, oh man, my engagement is so low. But keep putting out that content, keep educating people, and they're going to come around.
Yeah. Celebrate the two people the same that you would the 100 people. Like, there's still people.
Yeah. So how do people get, how does the audience, if you're listening, how do they find you?
So two ways are probably the easiest and the best. So you can join my Facebook group at www.successsecretsgroup.com. We put a lot of content in there daily about mindset and business and high performance. And then my website, bluelotusmind.com, there is plenty of free worksheets and activities on there that you can check out.
Wow. Success Secrets.
Success Secrets.
Because I guess it was 2010. I had an early podcast called successsecrets.tv.
Nice. I like it.
And, it went for about a year and then I lost the channel. So you probably have it now.
Well, we have Success Secrets Group because there was no Success Secrets available. But
that was, a lot, and the thing is, you're going to have ideas. Like I do, I create stuff all the time and some things pan out, some things don't. But keep trying because, you're going to hit on something and when you do, it's going to go big. And, all those people that, doubted you are going to go, oh, wow, that's an overnight success. But for me, it took 25 years. So, your time will come.
Yeah. And just pay attention to your language in the meantime. Start using language that opens you up instead of closes you off.
Well, there you go. That's why Tiffany is an e-hero. And we'll see you guys on the next episode. Adios.